The information presented in this podcast is not intended for the treatment or prevention of disease or any medical condition, nor is a substitute for medical advice. The information contained herein in this podcast reflects only the opinion of the author and presenter and is in no way considered required practice.
Welcome to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connects your brain to your brawn.
Hi, this is Eric Fiorello, and I want to welcome you to Motivation and Muscle, streaming radio 24/7. Today, believe it or not, is the 13th of December, 2017. Now, I tell everyone to do this. I don't know if you're standing up or sitting down. I know a lot of people tell me they stand. Stand up, take a deep breath through your nose, out through your mouth. I am a winner. I am a champion. Obviously, you can say anything you want to it. I am success. I am prosperity. Why are we doing this, and why have we been doing this for the last few months? Well, it all started, a lot of it, a few months back with Steve Cotter and myself, that we are really touching on the whole mental aspects of things, but not the typical stuff. The typical stuff you see out there, they want to sell you a package. We were talking about how to build the interior of your body out instead of taking the outside world in, because you'll never be successful like that. To make a long story short, I've been telling people all the transition I've been doing with myself, mentally, physically, on the spirit side. And when I say spirit side, it's like the transition into just changing your being, making decisions and applying these decisions. I've got like graphs all over my room. I've got pictures of what I want to do, et cetera, and I'm going to elaborate more and more on this, because I will tell you this, to take old habits, they could be 20 years old, and reinstall new ones that have to override these things, the old ones are going to come at you like a runaway train and try to beat you into the ground, and they will, because the body doesn't want to let go of habitual things. So it's real interesting stuff. I'm using it for a lot of the things I'm doing, especially this MASH, middies, I call them, rack training. It's just incredible stuff. And right now, things are really tight here. We're barely getting by, and I'm waiting to hear about another job to go to. Whatever it takes for FBC and M&M to become number one, I will do. I drew the line in the sand a long time ago and said, it's either it or me. I don't know many people that do things like that. It's like they say, you go to the island, burn the boats, and you either survive the attack or you kill it. As they say, like with the Spartans, you know, they would always say, bring it on. We are superior. That's how we are here. I know people don't like to hear words like that, but we're not everybody else. And we build, and we want people to build with us. And that's what I'm here for. And I believe anybody affiliated with the show, the family, you're all part of it. Number two, go out to FiorelloBarbellCo.com. We will have a brand new page up with the Winner Circle. It's now called Winners and Champions, Inc. It's changed quite a bit. We added another module. And I'm going to have my niece come over here before the end of the year, because everyone's been asking for this for a long time. It's going to be the 15th module, and it's going to be the tri-quad dead stop squat. Now, I'll just give you a brief thing, because we've got a roll. I got Jake waiting. It's the movement that everybody's like, how the hell did you do it? You don't hold the bar that's, you know, on your traps when you squat it. You're pushing off in the middle of your thigh to stand up. It's a nasty, nasty movement. Anybody that's ever had any shoulder problems or is, and you can't get your arm behind you and it bothers you to do a front squat, I got the remedy for it. And I owe John McKean that big gratitude, because I developed it and it's pretty interesting. So that's coming up too. Also too, contributions to the companies. Anything that you would like to contribute, especially right now, we'd appreciate it. There's a contribute button there. You can do a $25, $50, or $100. $25 gets you the first module. 50 gets you the first module and a half hour free with me, and $100 gets the first module. That's called The Beginnings, and you get 1 hour of free time with me, and I'll help you out any way I can. So go out there, do that. We appreciate it. Also, go out to motivationandmuscle.com. /category/podcast. Jake's done one show with me prior to this. We'll have this show up. What's today? Wednesday. I'll be up Thursday because I have to get Jeff King's up today. We had a lot of technical problems yesterday, so I had no time to do that. And by the time we were done, I was done for the day. I know better than to just keep pushing it. You got to let it off you and let it go. And then I think, well, don't forget our YouTube channel. You can go out, get a lot of video. There's all kinds of stuff out there. All you got to do is put in Fiorella Barbell Co., Real Men, Real Strength. It'll come right up. And I think that's it. Well, one more thing quick, and I'm going to bring Jake right in. I always give you four books, and we read sometimes through the show. Tough Times Never Last, But Tough People Do, Robert A. Schuller. Lombardi, What It Takes to Be Number One by his son Vince Lombardi. The Ultimate Man Survival Guide, that's by Frank Miniter. And, of course, one of my big, big people that really laid the mitt on me about power rack training, besides John McKean, The Development of Muscular Bulk and Power, Anthony DiTillo. And if you don't know Anthony, go out and look at that guy. He was unbelievable. And that's what we're really stressing here. And don't forget, too, we've got the Manly Men's page coming up. We're almost done with that. Manly Men's Movement, that is a build from Dr. Wong and myself. Wait till you see that, because we're going to change how men have been for the last 40 years. No more pussies, fellas. It's all done. As I said, we got Jake Reynolds coming in here. Let me give you a little information on this gentleman. Jake is a strong man, a strong man competitor. And before I bring him in, we're going to talk about something I loved. And we talked about it briefly in our first show. We're going to talk about overhead, but we've been discussing some other things here, and you know the way I do things with people. This could grow into anything. Jake, welcome back, brother. It's always an honor to talk to you and have you on.
Hey, thanks for having me, man. It was a great time.
Anything you want to promote coming up? Anything you got with your own URL, gyms? Go ahead, lay it out.
Surprisingly, the only thing I have to promote is Server Strength. Still, you know, using all their products, and yep. Nowitzki and everyone, they're
yep.
great people. If you need any knee sleeves, belts, really anything in the lifting stuff, sport gear, check out Cerber Strength. That's really about it, man.
Did you see that Kenny just opened a gym?
Oh, dude, I wish I lived out there.
You're not kidding.
As a pretty gym.
Yeah, he comes on a week from Saturday. He'll be on. A big favorite, Dr. William Crawford, is on this Saturday. Cody Burns, I don't know how many people have heard of him, but he's like the number one grip guy. Like, we have him and Jed. I can't wait. I talked to Cody last weekend. Incredible guy. Besides Jake today, we got Russell Fur, and I'm waiting to hear possibly either tomorrow afternoon or Friday. We'll have Dr. Wong back on. He's had nothing but Skype problems. Jake had a little bit here before we came on, and everybody and myself, it's just a nightmare. And anybody that's listening to this show that owns a company that does what Skype does, or you know friends, have them get a hold of me. You can get a hold of me right through Facebook, and I'd love to talk to somebody that's really using a product for their business like this. Also, too, we joke, but this is no joke. Papa John's pulled out of the NFL. You want to come advertise with Motivation and Muscle, I guarantee you, you'll not only get new prospects, but you could help a company that's growing, and we'd love to have a partnership with you for the next 30 years. So, Jake, overhead, you know, anybody that's discovered you out on Facebook or knows you through Andrew Derniat, obviously, or through competitions, knows that you're a horse when it comes overhead, for sure. and I know we're going to get into dumbbells and some logs, and I'm sure we're going to get into some mental things, too, and barbells. I'm going to ask you flat out, overhead, obviously, is that your favorite movement, or is it in the top two of your range?
I would say that it is my second favorite movement right now.
Okay, where what?
It flips back and forth between that and the front squat.
That's what I figured. I was going to say that. What is it about? You know, let's be honest. The bench press is a great movement. I only do them off the floor. I don't do them on a bench because I do everything dead start in the in the rack. Okay, and it is a fine movement. I think it's been really bastardized, especially the last 30 years, obviously. I like a lot of things. Look, if you want to wear wraps and suits, I'm with you. Kenny sent me a lot of stuff. His stuff is incredible. I understand with the knees, the elbow, especially, you know, I had that bicep tear. I like to keep that left arm always very warm. But, you know, I've been in enough commercial gyms and real nasty gyms, and I don't know. For me, arching and being wrapped from head to toe—that doesn't do that for me. And you see these guys, if a suit blows out on them, watch what happens to the bar when they're going to press it.
Yeah.
But what do you think it is? Do you think it's just the over exaggeration of the bench press? I mean, we know it puts mass on the body, but so do dips when they're performed correctly with, you know, pullovers. But what is it you think the luster? I mean, they took it out of the Olympics, and I've got theories on that for sure. Why is the overhead not what it was, let's say, in the days of Bill March?
I've thought about this before, and I'm not really too sure. I mean, first off, the bench is just I call it a safe movement compared to an overhead press to most people that don't understand it.
Yeah.
I will say I do not like to just flat bench.
Okay.
I'll do close grip.
Yep.
And I'll do flat bench, but it won't be normal. I'll do it like to some boards or something, or I don't come all the way down because it's terrible for your shoulders.
Correct.
So if you're going heavy, obviously, yep. But I'm not really too sure. I see tons of people benching, obviously, and I don't know the arching and all that crap. The only people that I'm not going to say respect, but the only people I understand why they do the big arch are guys that are, like, pushing world record totals.
Absolutely.
And really pushing, you know, they're very competitive. Like, I don't understand the random gym bros. You're not going to build, you know, mass arching and moving it the bar 2 inches, right?
Correct.
But if you're competing, you do whatever you can to put any more pounds on your total. I understand that.
Yeah.
So I do see that all the time, you know. You see the guy that he's a, you know, buck 50 arching like crazy, 135. Like, why the heck are you doing that?
And you know the thing is, here's my theory on a lot of things with the overhead, and I've talked to a number of people that have been very involved with that stuff. And we were talking about it the other day with Serge Redding, who, in my opinion, probably was one of the most massive people I've ever seen in my life. I mean, you look at – go out and look. I've put him up before on Etched in Stone. Look at the size of Redding. Or even Anthony DiTillo. I mean, we were talking about that with Jeff King the other day. I said, look at the back pictures I've put up of him with his traps. His traps
look huge.
They look like a bookshelf. Seriously, all right? But – here's my theory. I remember reading, and I talked to Randall Strassen, who was on here one time, and a few other people, and I said, is it better without the press? Some said yes, some said no. I say no, and I'll tell you why. I think pressing is really, really shows your dominance of your strength, okay? You look at an Olympic lifter. I mean, we just lost the Pocket Hercules, but look at the weights that guy was using. I mean, he was tiny. And you know, you don't think about that when you've got to clean and press something like that. I don't care if they jerk it overhead or not. I mean, it's unbelievable. But from what I had heard and I've read, I've talked to John and many others, and the word back in the late 60s and 70s, if you watched Alexia go against Redding, Redding would beat him by like, wouldn't beat him, Redding would have him maybe by 2 pounds going in to the end of the movement, to the end of the clean and press. The word was that Alexia wasn't the presser everybody thought he was. Obviously, 500 plus, yeah. How, you know, you can't really measure that when I say it, but this is what I'm saying. Redding was a better presser, and there's a lot of politics and a lot of theory back then that they dropped the press to favor Alexia. Now, I don't know if that's true or not, but I'll tell you what, I think that's taken away from Olympic lifting big time. And I think this is why you don't see this. And, well, you tell me this. I comment on any of that, obviously, Jake, but tell me this. you're a guy that travels around. I do too. I haven't, obviously, in the last few years, but I've traveled plenty. How much overhead do you see in most gyms?
Depends on what gyms you're going to. Commercial gyms, usually you might see one guy doing like some strict out of the rack.
Yep.
Besides that,
yep,
you won't see too much.
Nope.
Now, you know, not to bring up CrossFit, but you do see it a lot in a CrossFit gym.
Sure.
They're doing a ton of it. I mean, it's not heavy. And then you go to a strongman gym, you know, I go over to Steve Schmitz and,
sure,
you know, we're all doing overhead.
Yeah.
Because we understand that it's really, really important to be doing that.
Yep. You know? And I'll tell you this, I don't think anything looks better on a physique, I don't care what anybody says, than to have your shoulder girdle fully developed as far as can go. Let's face it, people don't realize a lot of times, well, all you do is press. No, you don't. Look at your upper back when you're pressing heavy. It works those areas. It's just like everything we talk about, whether it's a pull with an ISO hold, different movements you do. I was telling John the other day, there's a certain way I'm doing a high pull, I guess you would call it, with the parts of the rib cage I'm using it. Now, where you're lining these rods off to explode this stuff off you, which is real hard because now your arms, biceps, everything's in a very strange thing. Not a dangerous thing, but as I said to Jake before we came on with this stuff, I have no leverage at all. So when you're pulling this, and then think about this, folks, 4 inches against another set of rods, and obviously at that point you're going to have to be up on your toes just to accelerate. I will tell you this, my lower rhomboids look like someone's putting cement on top of cement on top of cement. What that means, and I'll give you the regular language, I've never had the growth at my lower rhomboids like I do now, and I know what's doing it. I told Jake, 4.5 weeks, I do my next workout tomorrow. Incredible. But here's the thing. Here's one thing that I was always impressed with you, obviously. I love that stuff when you're nailing those circus dumbbells because you seem like a pro at that for sure. Tell everybody, you know what I want to do too, because we've got time. You know, let's talk about a short routine for, I don't know, beginner, intermediate, because there's a lot of younger kids listening to the show now, and I know there's a lot of guys that are intermediate that are walking around saying, hey, I'm looking for something new. I'd like to go overhead, but I don't have a clue to what to do. So, first of all, comment on the circus dumbbells. What got you attracted into that so much?
Circus dumbbells, obviously, all the old-time strongman feats.
Yep.
They just look badass.
Yep.
And then, really, I'd never tried one, and Dernie got one for his birthday. He got a big Slater bell,
yep,
you know, the big sand-filled ones, and it was like 130 pounds. I couldn't hit it,
yep,
for a long time. It took me forever to figure it out. But the best advice I can give anyone that, well, routine-wise, you know, for circus dumbbell, I mean, get strong shoulders first off. I mean, that's the biggest thing. Just build those shoulders, like, because it's going to – really, you need to build all overall strength and core strength because – you know, when you're pressing circus dumbbells, it doesn't – every fiber of your being is being tested.
Yeah.
Like there's – you know, you see it and you think, oh, man, that guy's got a strong arm. That's not the case.
No.
Really, I don't even feel it in my arm when I press. I feel it in my legs.
Yep.
And I feel it in my core and my obliques.
Yep.
Because, you know, you're holding whatever odd number over your head. It's – what I would tell people to do is do high volume. Just find – you know, go to a dumbbell rack and, you know, find whatever dumbbell you're comfortable with. And every time you do a press movement or whatever, your press day, whatever, I do like 3x10, 3x12.
Yeah.
I would just grab a dumbbell that you can do that with somewhat comfortably, pull it up with one arm, and just do strict presses. And don't touch it with the other hand. Just strict presses, just down to the shoulder. You know, sets three sets, 12 reps.
Yep.
Do that on both arms. If you do that week in and week out for a few months, when you go to do a real circus dumbbell, depending on the weight, obviously, and
yeah,
how strong you are, it should feel more comfortable because the biggest thing with circus dumbbells, there's guys I know that are strong as hell.
Yep.
And they can't even come close. They're stronger than me. And they can't even come within 100 pounds of my circus dumbbell because they have never played with the implement.
Yep.
And it sits on you real funny.
Yep.
And you just basically, you got to do trial and error. I think I sat there for hours and hours, and Andrew can attest to this next time if you listen to this.
Yep.
Whatever. He knows. I sat there and, man, I dropped it on my head. I dropped it on my – I just – and, you know, But I'm the type of guy, I'm kind of a bulldog with this, with overhead.
Yep.
I fail way more than I succeed. And I was joking the other day with Stacy, my fiance.
Yep.
I'm making a compilation video right now of just failures.
I love it.
I got about 20 right now, and they're pretty funny because every single one, am I allowed to cuss on here? I can't remember.
Yeah.
Every single one ends with me pretty much throwing, missing it, yelling, you know, fuck, and then just throwing my wrist wraps right around and walking off because, you know, this is something I want to touch on later, but.
Okay.
I get questions sometimes when I get really mad and I miss. And it's not like, you know, oh, roid rage, whatever.
Yeah, I know.
I get mad because I'm super, super passionate about lifting.
I'm with you. Yep.
And, you know, when I get questioned by people, it drives me nuts because it's like, you know, when I go up to lift a heavy log or whatever I'm doing, I think I'm ahead do or die.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's just how I feel because it puts me in this mental state of, you know, whatever. And I listen to heavy metal a lot.
Yep.
People don't listen, but when I have my headphones in, I'm usually listening to Returns of King, the 300 soundtrack.
Yep.
That shit gets me jacked up.
Yep.
So I think do or die, you know, you have to hit this. Get under it. Let it crush you. Do what you got to do. And when I miss, you know, I have the same facial expression every time, same body mechanics every time. I throw it down. You can just see how pissed off I am. I walk away. I've got 20 videos. They all look the same with varying weights. I think it's hilarious. You know, and no one wants to show failing.
No.
But sometimes I feel like it's good to show it to people because they see my hit, my makes, and they look easy because I train mechanically, you know, like an Olympic weightlifter.
Yeah.
And, you know, they think, oh, man, this shit's so easy for you. You know, oh, you got short arms. This is a joke. Like, do you even, you know, do you ever miss, blah, blah, blah. So I want to post this just to be like, hey, look, I have bad days. I have a lot of bad days.
Yeah.
You know. And I wake up in the morning sometimes beat to shit, like I am right now, actually.
Yeah.
My right hamstring screaming.
Yep. I know. But, yeah.
You know, I don't want to – I guess it's just I want to pull the wool, you know, and say, hey, look, it's not easy all the time. So if any kids see it and they're having tough times, they can say, hey, man, like this guy's one of the best overhead pressers for his weight class ever.
Yep.
I think I'm up there right now.
Yep.
And, you know, it's tough for him. What, you know, I should be doing it too, so –
Well, I think that's great because I've always shown my misses out on Facebook, and that's why I told you before we came on. I call it like the Facebook matinee show because the only time you see people is when they're in their best shape or when they're making their biggest lifts. They'll never show you the majority of them, not all. They'll never show you the times they go up in smoke. I mean, I was telling Jake before he came on about, you know, people have heard me talking about these, I call them mashing middies. This is the thing. Not only do you get humbled by this because most people won't do it because of the ego. When you've got to drop your weights down, I've had to drop some over 150 pounds because of the leverage factor. Here's a deal with them that will kill you even more. What would be simple any other time, anywhere else, you might not move it that day, and you're like, there's no way I've even come close to my peak here. So you come in 2 or 3 days later, and you go in with that same weight, and you crucify it, and like I did the other day, I held it against that other set of rods where I felt like I could sit on them, up against them all day. Now, I don't know what tomorrow's going to bring, okay? And the thing that's beautiful about this, and I'm sure Jake can attest to this, is yeah, a lot of us can add big amounts of weight, and you might get away with it for a little while, but then you get slapped back or you end up getting an injury or whatever. What John McKean has stressed to me with this, he said, be patient, and I know you're not used to doing this, but to get you to where you want to get prior to this, and you will, just keep adding 5 pounds a workout to each exercise. Okay, now add that up over a course of a week because those two things I'm doing twice a week. So that's 20 pounds a week. Now, don't forget, I'm stone lifting, and I'm going to give some people – I'm going to film this. Maybe it's going to be in the spring, but I'm going to show you some stuff with my Hoosa Steel stones I've never seen anybody do. And I will tell you this, it has some use with bands. And how I set these things in my rack because I've built specialty things to pull it from. I can tell you this. A 250-pound Hoosa Steel, the way I do it, has already taken me, rocked me back. One time it knocked me over. I'm not a small guy at 301 pounds either. And I'm no pussy weakling either. This stuff that I'm doing, you better be a tall drink of water, as they say, because it will humble your ass to the ground. And this is why John and I were talking, and John's been around. John just turned he was 70 years old Friday. John is back in the rack doing the middies. It's incredible, this guy at 100 and about 56 pounds he's down to now. He's unbelievable. And what he said to me, even back in the day when they were doing these, most big, strong guys wouldn't go near him because the weight drop and the humbling of it was too much for people. So that's why a lot of people lost out on building bigger strength. Now, one of the things, too, obviously, we like talking about logs and barbells, and we talked about the dumbbells, especially for guys that want to start getting into this. Obviously, you're a big front squatter. We know what that does. I mean, especially if you want to be a stone lifter overhead. Yeah. I mean, you got to have the front squat. Some people differ. Now, Bill Crawford and I went back and forth. I don't remember when he went last. It probably was a couple years ago, and they just... they went and did some things, but they just stopped at Husafell randomly, and he hadn't trained for it, and he grabbed the stone and went halfway around, just dropped it, just to see what he could do. And Bill said to me this time that he exclusively did rear squats, and he felt that they were great. You know what I mean? I don't know how much, and we're going to get into that Saturday too. I know that we talked about, obviously, the dumbbell press and to get started. Let's go with somebody that's the same thing, new, intermediate. Let's not bog them down with a lot of shit. Let's talk about maybe a grip movement. If you believe the front squat is the key to overhead, and obviously we talk about rocks, and obviously getting into the dumbbells or some form of a clean and press with a barbell, whatever. Give me a few movements that we can put together for people, Jake.
If they want to be a better overhead presser,
well,
or just in general, like what?
Let's stick with the overhead for now. But okay. let's you know, because we know we got to develop the bottom end too. So let's right. talk about. Go ahead.
What I like to do and what I've been doing for 7 years now, or whatever. My squat days usually have I'll start with a front squat.
Yep.
And it'll be for a while. It's just going to be high volume. I would not go real heavy. I'd do 5x5-ish stuff.
Yep.
Maybe set a timer and be fatigued under some weight, because that'll make you cock strong, as they say.
Oh yeah.
Real quick.
Yep.
You set a minute timer and you have to do 10 sets of three or something, 70%-ish of what you think your max is or something like that. Whew. You know, getting under front squat's one thing. Getting under it fatigued is another.
Yep.
But I always follow up my front squats. Always. And I like to back squat a lot. I don't have shoulder problems, so I can.
Right.
You know, I can get my hands back there, but lately I haven't used a normal bar for back squats in who knows how long. I like to use the safety squat bar.
Okay, yep.
That thing, you know, it's great for me. My body type's pretty good for squatting in general.
Sure.
And it's pretty good for the safety squat bar, but man, does that thing tug on your back when you get to good weights.
Yep.
So, you know, if I go high volume on the fronts, I'll do lower volume and do pauses with the safety bar.
Okay.
Just to build... because, you know, with everything, you know, deadlifting, stone lifting, all that stuff, you got to have strong legs.
Yeah.
You know, you pick up the Husafell, cool. You know, your back's strong. Are you going to be able to walk with it? You got weak legs? Probably not.
No. No
you know,
way.
Your legs are going to give out after, you know, it's a heavy carry. So, you know, build those legs. What I like to do is I'll do those two things.
Yep.
And then Durnat's the same way. Really big believer in, you know, hitting single leg work. If you don't hit single leg work, you're fooling yourself.
Yep.
I like to do split squats Bulgarian?
Yeah,
lunges. The Bulgarian split squats, or I'll do lunges too in the same workout. But I'd hired a coach actually recently. I don't know if you knew Terry Radius.
Nah.
Freak athlete.
Okay.
Freak coach. He won 90 kgs World Strongest Man.
Okay. Cool.
He's a freak. But he is the same way as I am. We have a lot of the same thing. I just wanted someone to, hey, write something down, hey, do this. But it's funny because he gave me my program. It's all the same shit that I would do. And I'm like, oh, man, I'm already doing it right.
Yep.
This is the worst successor I've ever had to do. It makes me shake. I've already thrown up in a couple leg sessions, and it's not anything that crazy. So it's a Bulgarian split squat.
Yep.
Check this. It'll be like the first two sets, I'll do sets of 12 each leg.
Okay.
And I'll use some weight. We have like a, we kind of have a little machine type thing you can load some stuff on, and it, you can hold on to handles.
Yeah.
It's a lunge machine, I guess you'd call it. And I see people doing strugs on it, and I always laugh at them, because on the side it says a lunge machine. I'm like, lunges. Like, you, the guy's got a big, you know, he's got big chaps, but his legs are tiny. Do lunges.
Yep.
But, so the third set, what he has me do is every rep, he wants me to count to three.
Oh.
When I'm going up.
Yeah.
When I get to the mid, and then when I come back down, he wants me to count to 10.
Jeez.
Yeah. But you don't use much weight for this, but man, can I feel every fiber, everything shaking.
Yep.
So that's basically my lower body, you know.
Okay.
That's my bread and butter right there, the meat and potatoes of my work, because, ooh, man, like that's how you build legs.
Yeah.
I've been doing stuff like that for like 7 or 8 years now, so, you know, and it's not going to come quick for anybody.
No.
Bit of advice I'll give to someone, because, you know, people ask me, like, oh, what do you do? And I'll tell them, and they'll say, cool, and they'll do it for a few weeks, man, this is tough. And then I see them, you know, a month later, and they're back to doing the bullshit they were doing before.
Yep.
Like, why'd you stop? And they're like, well, you know, I was too sore all the time. I'm like, well, you got to do that for years if you want a big squat.
Yeah.
Or, you know, a good overhead press, because, again, if you don't know how to use your legs on an overhead press, you're going to be miles behind everyone else.
Yep.
So.
Now, you know, and you touched upon something big again. Why did you stop doing it? Well, I'm sore, or I'm not getting the gains I want, or whatever. This is why there's so many people that get in the physical culture, and either they go the opposite direction, or they totally drop out of everything. And this is right now. We're getting ready. I'm going to either do this show singular, or I'm going to do it with Dr. Wong, and the theme of the show is going to be called A Crippled America. And why did I call it that? Because Jake just made the reference to, well, why aren't you doing the lunges anymore? Well, I'm too sore, or, you know, you'll hear, well, I don't know, you know, I decided that's not what I want to do. Or the next thing you know, you don't see him in the gym anymore. And this is what it is. We've become a crippled country due to the promotion of being soft with everything. You know, how many people, I hear this all the time. Why do you want to keep lifting those big things? Why are you freezing to a stone out there? Why are you out in a snowstorm training? Why? And I reference it every time to them, because I only say a few things to them. I say, because I love it. And that stops them in their tracks, man. Because what they want me to go into is give them, you know, bullet point after bullet point after bullet point. Here's my opinion more than ever now. Do things by deeds, okay? And keep your goddamn mouth shut. Let your actions show what you can do. The braggers out there, the ones out on the matinee Facebook show every day with, whether they're women with their pants down in the middle of their ass, or these guys that, you know, someone's taking a picture of them, they look like half of them are oiled up, or whatever they're doing, I mean, that's not impressive. And I'll tell you right now, they're the ones that will not last any more, in my opinion, than a couple years. Because something's going to happen one way or the other. But the thing that I really don't like about it is a lot of people are putting out products like that, and then the kid on the street that's got no clue, but he's impressed by whatever it is bodily or what they're using with the weights, throws the money out there, the parents do, and here's what it is. Let's be honest with you. Most of these things are these high-volume bodybuilding things. Yeah. I don't care if you're on steroids or not. Do that and keep doing that, and we'll see how long you last, okay? And I love the old stuff, and I know back in the day it was Diana Ball or whatever else they were trying to push back then. They'll always say that with, you know, Hoffman and York. The only reason why they got big off there is because they were all taking Diana Ball. Well, here's a clue about all that stuff. If that was the case, anybody who took Diana Ball and lifted weights would have been a horse and could have basically lifted a oak tree over their head. And you and I both know it's a load of shit. So what's happened now is, and I was telling Jake before we came on, you know, or maybe I didn't tell him this, and I'll get right to you, boss. You know, my brother-in-law is a varsity football coach. Gareth Denyer, who's on here, he's down in Texas. He's got one of the best gyms around. I mean, I think he's graduated from high school kids over 100 Division I football players. And here's the consensus of both of them. The young kids are in pretty big trouble right now. The majority of them don't want to work hard. All they care about is arms, pecs, and creatine or whatever else they're in, because we know drugs now are in the high school end. I'm talking steroids, not amphetamines or any of that. And flat out, they don't want to work. Now, I know with my brother-in-law and Gareth, you know, you got parents coming in and screaming at you, and they're going to do this and that. And I remember recently, and I wish I remember the coach's name, there was a thing that I read, I couldn't believe it. A high school football coach disciplined a player. The parents literally went into the principal. And I can't imagine these schools even getting involved with this. The AD and the principal, because they didn't like the way they talked to their little snowflake, and they wanted to fire this guy. Jeez. And the guy was successful. This is what's happening, folks. So when, you know, Jake's talking about going overhead, the front squats, the rear squats, we're talking about grip here, we're talking about the middies and the power rack. You better have some type of determination that is absolutely unstoppable. Because, you know, Jake's talking, they want to go to Iceland for the stones. I'm going back. I've got invitations all over. I got to tell you, you better get out and get around very rugged people and a rugged environment. And no matter what happens, unless you don't want to do it, you better stick with it. Because I can tell you from experience, you go over there, and when you see this stuff, it's going to set you right on your ass. I don't care how established you are as a lifter. You're going to just see the visual effect of it, and you're going to be like, holy shit. You know, I traveled, like, from New York. It's like a little over four hours to Iceland. It's not going to hit you in the face till you land and you step on Reykjavik soil. But when you drive or you stay near the sheep pen and the Husafell stone, then it's going to hit you right in the face, and you're going to start asking a lot of questions. Did I prepare enough for this? Because when you see this place visually, and I think visual has so much to do with your success, that's when you're going to see what you're made of. That's when you're going to say, all those nights I froze to a stone out in my yard, or I was in the gym with these guys, and they were pushing me so hard, I didn't know if I was going to even be able to walk to my car to drive home. This is what it's all about. So take it away, Jake.
Oh, man. You said 50 things that I agree with the whole soft thing, man.
Yeah.
I have a story, actually, and this is like a good thing, you know, that I see.
Yeah. Yep.
There's a couple of young kids that come in with their dad to the gym I'm going to right now, just the commercial side of the gym I'm going to now.
Yeah.
And he comes in with his two kids, and the one guy has a personal trainer that works him hard. They both play football, I think, and one might wrestle. And the wrestler, you can just tell.
Yeah.
The dad, I noticed he kind of doesn't understand what's going on. Like, he doesn't know anything about the gym.
Yep.
But the one thing he does do is he's very observant. He watches what I'm doing.
Yep.
I noticed. And I'll hear him tell his son, like, if you want to build this, you need to do that.
Yep.
And he says that to the kid's probably, like, I don't know, maybe 12 or so.
Yeah.
So the kid's still really young and dumb, you'd say.
Yeah.
But the kid makes no excuses. And it's not that he's, like, a crazy hard worker, but he watches me lift and watches form stuff and whatever. And I'll catch him a day or two later. His dad will have him doing those same things.
Awesome.
And that's fine. I'm cool with that. Like, copy what I'm doing, because – I'll tell you what, if he does it for 4 or 5 years, he's going to be a good athlete.
Yep.
But I catch him all the time. It's really funny. And you know, and Stacy, fiance, she, yep. We're in the car one time. She goes, you know, you scare those kids. You scare them, right?
Yeah.
Because it's not that I'm hooting and hollering and whatever. I'm just very, very aggressive when I lift.
Tell me about it.
And this is something also I want to talk about, because the softness of our country, our world in general, man. Whew.
Yeah.
I had someone, this is probably like maybe half a year ago or something. They go, why do you seem so angry? Why are you so aggressive? That's what they said to me. And, you know, and I'd hold everything in to not get pissed off at that time, you know?
Yep.
And I'm like, you know, why does everything have to be so fucking soft? Like, why does everything have to be so polite and nice? Like, why do I have to grab a weight so nicely?
Yeah.
Like, this is the one place in my life that I can do. You know, I can be pissed off, grab it, shake it around, do whatever. You know, you can't do that in public.
Yeah.
I can't grab someone to shake them or whatever. It's not that I'm angry. It's that in my eyes, the more aggressive I am, the faster I'm going to move that weight. And the faster I move the weight is less – the more weight I'm going to move because you know how science works.
Sure.
I'm like, if I have to get my mind to that state to do that, then that's what I'm going to do because I'm going to be successful in this. I'm like, does it offend you or bother you? And they're actually kind of like about to say yes. And I'm like, just hold on. I'm like, this conversation is kind of over.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
I don't surround myself with weak.
Yep.
I'm not going to say weak, in the strength world. I'm saying weak-minded people.
Yep.
I can't deal with that.
Yep.
So, that pissed me off. And I'm like, man, and I've been dwelling on that moment since. Every time I go to lift, I get twice as aggressive now because I think of, I feel like I need to be, take their share of aggressiveness and use it myself. Because if no one else is going to get fucking passionate and mad about, riled up to lift,
yep.
I'm going to do it.
Yep.
It's not for show either, though. You know when someone's doing it for show.
Yeah.
Versus someone who's literally shaking before they lift.
Yep. Yep. Yeah.
So.
No, go ahead.
Sorry. In the Husafel.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is really funny. Stacey again. She's,
yep.
She says funny shit to me all the time. So we're planning a trip at some point.
Yeah.
Not this next year, but the year after.
Yep.
And she told my stepmom, who will be going with us, this is like a family vacation.
Yeah.
Yeah, my family vacation is going to be going and lifting cool shit.
I love it. I love it.
How jealous should everyone be, right?
Yeah.
Stacy said, we have to plan the Husafel stuff, or maybe even if we go to Inverstone.
Yeah.
She's like, you need to plan those two at the end of the trip. And my stepmom, we're eating dinner, and my stepmom goes, why is that? She goes, have you ever seen Jake miss a lift? For like a week afterwards. He's like, I'm not going on vacation and yep. watching him miss a lift in the beginning of the vacation and then not talk to anyone the rest of the vacation.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Like, plan this at the end so he can be pissed off on the flight home and, then he can go to sleep and, whatever. He can be a grumpy bear somewhere else,
You know what you ought to do? Seriously, think about? I think it looks like it's going to be every August. You ought to go to the gathering, man. Hit the Inver, hit the Denny's, and you can choose either, Husafel, go to Scotland, grab the Inver, because I think it's like a little over an hour plane flight from Iceland. Man, oh man, you talk, and you would meet every person. We've had so many of these lifters on the show now, and we got more coming. I'll tell you what. I want to just make a couple references, and I'll come right back to you quick. When you're talking about people and their aggression and being angry, I'm going to tell you a couple things, and I know you're going to get a good laugh out of the second one. Everyone wants you to be living in the civilized world, quote-unquote, now. Lifters don't live in a civilized world. The ones that really understand it understand it. There's so many of them out there that don't have a clue, and they're a bunch of fucking assholes anyways, in my opinion. And then secondly, there was a gentleman on here on the show one day, and then I got some notes from people. And the one guy says, well, I really like the show, but you seem very aggressive and angry all the time. And I was like, well, I'm not putting on a facade for anybody, at least. And I go kind of the way my fuel's burning in me. And if you follow the show, and I'm not looking for anybody's sympathy, because most people relish when they see that things are fucking burning up all around you. I said, too fucking bad. I said, you can tell this gentleman, or I'll contact him, because I know he was on the show before. I said, you can tell him to go listen to Joe Rogan or whatever the fuck he likes, right? And that was the end, because it's like this. Do you want something, because I hear this all the time about the show. It's so authentic. We love that tough-sounding New York voice. It's just me, Jake. If you met me this weekend out with your girlfriend somewhere, and you're like, hey, you're Jake, you're Eric, and we sat down and had a burger together or whatever, you'd be, and I'll tell you what, in person, I'm probably even more harsh, because I don't have to hold my language or anything at that point. Yeah. Now, I'm not talking about like I'm some guy that's got no class. That's not the point. I mean, if you came back here and we were training, I've had the police come here before, just me training. All right? They would be here. All right? I've had people that have known me all my life because, as I say, I got a 95-foot driveway. the music that's coming out of here and the aggression. And if there's other people out here, I've had people come up here and say to me, I was afraid to walk up the rest of the driveway. It sounded like somebody was axe murdering somebody out here. All right.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Now, all right. And I'm not saying this for show or to say, oh, I'm more than you. What I'm saying to folks is I'm going to be what I want to be. I'm with Jake. This is the one thing that men can do. And I mean males. I believe me, women do some great stuff with this, but I'm not talking about this. I'm talking men. This is the only thing I think we got left that literally we can go out and commit murder on things out there. All right?
Yeah.
And if I ever lost this, you might as well just dust me off because I ain't hanging around here anymore. Believe me. And as my buddy Richie said, and always said, we are at the war with the weights. We love them, respect them, the Stones, the Sand, all that. Same way the Husafell. But you better drop your respect real quick for it when you walk up and straddle that thing and grab it with all your might and lift that thing up if you're lucky enough and to get around that sheep pen. Because I'm going to tell you right now, folks, Bill Crawford, myself, Steffi, all of us, we've all had tears from that, from those Stones. The respect stops once it's standing up or whatever you're going to do, and you have to go wage war on it. So most people are not going to identify with what we do because just like I talked about what you do, what I do with the rack right now and all that, it's too goddamn hard for them.
Yeah.
And they're going to try to rationalize you as a maniac and some kind of nut. And if you are, too bad. Your passion rings. But most of it is their fear and their inability to even attempt at taking it at a lower form and doing it. Because we know, and I'll stress this till the day we go off here, I can take any lift just about in strongman, and I can bring it down to whatever level you need to start with. Tell me how many things out there that are supposed to be so much better can match that. None. Go ahead and take it, man.
Oh, dude. I see the strongman. That's a big thing right now. The strongman's for everyone. That's what people say.
Yep.
And that's fine. I mean, it is for everyone, but it's also not. But you can definitely bring it down to you know, an old lady can do it.
Yep.
And I love that. I think that's the coolest. That's what makes it so appealing to me is that it's just fun and interesting.
Yes, sir.
So, man, I'm so – you get me so jacked up to get over there and get those stones down, man.
Well, I did a thing the other day on lessons. It was lesson one. And it was like a nucleus with octopus legs all over, and it was called Strength Resolve, and it went to will, and it went to steps, and it went to commitment, and obviously the finish line it was called. And I went that way because this is my feeling totally with everything now, and I don't believe you can't get anywhere without this, is if it was me, unless you couldn't do it, everyone would learn how to become strong, and we would start with weights. I don't feel, you know, I see everything out there, believe me. I got respect for whatever you want to do, but I still believe that the weights are the key to everything. Now, I'll just elaborate a little bit, and I'll go back to you, Jake, and this is it. You have to build a strength within inside yourself because we talked about it's internally, not externally, to get where you want to go. Weights due to, you know, you learn how to make goals. You learn to be hungry, and hunger is the thing that's going to get you to where you need to get. I mean, hunger and decisions, you can add everything else to it, but you really need this stuff to become a success, all right? Once you begin to build this type of strength resolve internally, you end up becoming what we talk about here. Maybe you're me or you're Jake. You know, we're going to go to Iceland. We're going to return to Iceland. You know, we're going to go in these meets at whatever body weight we are, and we're just going to blow the competition through the floor. All right? And even if you don't want to, you become so much better in your life. And this is why you see these people just come from nowhere and suddenly they have such personal victories everywhere. And no matter what it is, whether you want to be a better boyfriend, husband, girlfriend, wife, you want to go out and create an exceptional life where you become a money magnet. Maybe you want to build a business, all these things. But I'm going to tell you right now, if you don't build the strength resolve, and I'm going to, and we've shown this before, but we're going to stress this in 2018 like you never seen, because Steve Cotter and I are going to start putting out things of this nature. Because it's so vitally important. It's not going to be the same BS you hear all over. What we can do, and I'll give this right to you, Jay, because I want you to tell me what you think of this.
Yeah.
I want to take, and I've talked about it, you and I have talked about it a little bit today even. I want to take what we learn in the gym, and I can take that like a sandbag and make it anything we want to make to get you started, and teach you that these are some of the foundational steps you need to take and stick with them. And you need a coach, or you need somebody that is going to guide you, especially if you, you know, not everybody has the wherewithal when they get punched in the nose and get a little blood out of it to go back and redo it again and take a chance of getting maybe popped in the eyeball. Or how about this? How about you hit them right over the head with a fucking bar? I say that figuratively, all right? I don't mean to go out and do that, all right? But what I'm saying is you need to start adopting these principles. So comment on any of that stuff, please.
I think that strength resolve, you know what you're saying.
Yep.
I think the biggest thing it's going to teach anybody, and this is why I'm very adamant about younger people starting to lift.
Yep.
It teaches you consistency.
Yep.
I mean, and consistency and routine. I think that, like, especially when I first started lifting, like, you know, if I wanted to get better, I had to be consistent. And then I realized, what other aspects of life will you get better at if you are then consistent?
Yep.
Which is fucking everything.
Yep.
I mean, honestly, if you consistently work hard at everything that you do and you show a little heart, you know, you're gonna succeed at it.
Yep.
You're gonna fail a lot, but you're gonna succeed at it.
Yep.
And I think that that's a big message, like, you know, like you just said, you get popped in the nose or whatever, and you keep coming.
Yeah.
That's one thing all my friends I've had for a long time or whatever, and it does help that my stature is the way it is, you know.
Yeah.
5'8", 230, 240, depending on what I ate.
Yep.
I'm a bulldog, man.
Yeah.
And one thing you know about a bulldog is they'll come at you.
Yeah.
Forever.
Yeah.
That's just how they are. And, you know, you take that aspect of anything, lifting, you know, relationships, work, anything. If you're consistent and you just push hard, I mean, you're just going to succeed. And I wish that's something that's like I have a little half brother.
Yeah.
And I'm not bad talking, right? He's young.
Yeah.
You know, he's like 12 or 13 or whatever. But him and his friends hang out. And all I can think about when they're around and what they talk about, and I understand that, you know, I'm a little older or whatever now.
Yeah.
But
yep.
You just come off as such big pussies.
Yeah.
Compared to when I was that age.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I don't even think I was in the house.
No.
About something outside, jumping out of a tree, being a dumbass.
Yeah.
You know, I look at it that way, like, oh, such a dumbass. But at the same time, I'm like, it made me tough today.
Yeah.
You know.
Hey, my parents used to tell us, they, you know, it isn't that they didn't want you around. They're like, go outside. You know, reported, and, you know, the neighborhoods were different then. Everybody knew each other. It's like, you didn't even want to get the wrath of somebody's other parents, but there was always somebody that knew where you were or whatever. And this is what I'm trying to say. It's like, we never stayed in. I mean, only time I was staying in is when I got grounded, man, and that was a lot, all right? But what I'm trying to say is, get out there. Get rid of that fucking phone. Get off the iPads, you know? Get out there and get a little bit of cold in your bones. Go out and grab a 25-pound sandbag and walk around the block. I'm telling you right now, I've seen it happen many, many times. People have come here, people I've talked to that were like, oh, I don't want to do that. I'm like, okay, well, no one's telling you you have to. Would you want to try a sandbag? Okay. Next thing you know, I got them doing step-ups. The next thing you know, I got them walking. The next thing you know, they could be going shoulder to shoulder or, you know, pulling the thing up, learning how to press it overhead. And then, this has happened more times than none, they'll say to me, you've got some smaller stones here. I said, absolutely. That's the point of everything. You know, we use the stones no matter what they are. I'd like to, you know, go after this thing here. Because I won't let anybody say try it, because I think that's a loser's way to talk.
I just say do it.
Exactly. Exactly.
Go fucking do it.
Yep.
My fiance, her confidence isn't very high.
Yep.
She's getting strong as hell, by the way.
That's
she's gonna
pull
great. 400 soon.
Oh, man.
She's going to pull over 400 at like a 140-pound body, which is a little thing.
We're going to have to get Think about this. Maybe even in the next show, maybe we'll do a three-way show. We'll get her on. But we'll talk about that after we get off here. Yeah. But so that's the way it is. And there's just – I mean, we are near time right now, but I could talk another hour easily.
Yeah, it's cool, though.
it's good stuff. And I'm telling you right now, this is what changes the dynamics of your life. You know, you hear Jake and I talk. Look, I mean, how many people can I tell you I've been on here, and myself included, that are like, when I get off here, I've got to go fucking lift. I remember Jim Ronig, who was on here, he's an awesome Mace guy, everything. He's like, dude, he goes, I got off. I had to drive to go to the gym to go work out. I couldn't settle down. I've had people tell me, and I'm not bragging here. You know, we talk at night. I can't sleep the whole friggin' night. Hey, it's like anything. I can tell you this from experience long before we came on the air. Don't watch a Rocky movie starting at 8 o'clock at night, because I can tell you, I went out many times and just did some shit in my garage at 11:30 p.m., or if I was crazy enough to go to bed, I'd be lucky if I got to sleep by 2:30 in the morning. Yeah. And folks, this is what you need to be listening to. This is what you need to be doing. You need to get away from the outside world. I'm not telling you to cut yourself off from the world. What I'm telling you is you can create a human being that you could never have envisioned. But it's like Jake said before, 7 years doing this stuff with, you know, the legs to get better legs, better strength in the middle, better to promote overhead, okay? It's the same thing with what we're talking about with the internal, I call it the internal girth, basically. Build that stuff there, and I'm telling you, you will see things transpire week to week, month to month. Before you know it, you're into a year, and you're like, holy shit, I'm not the same guy or girl that I was even last week, and look what I'm doing. So, Jake, comment on any of that. Take your time. Any information you want to give out, I'll give mine. Hang on the line, and we'll get something set up for next year, my friend.
Sounds good. One thing I wanted to touch on with, you know, you talking about the 7 years or whatever. When I first started that journey of lifting, I was just like, you know, oh, this is fun. I'm going to do it for a little while. And I found, I read and researched and, you know, learned a bit about it, and you know, now I can look back and be like, okay, I did that to get a better overhead.
Yeah.
Back then, it wasn't to get a bigger overhead. I just wanted to get strong as shit. That's all I thought about was, I like to walk in a room and be like, I'm the strongest person in this room.
You betcha.
And then now I can be like, I'm the strongest person in this county. And it just grows if you can keep getting stronger, right? So now I look back and I can say, hey, those things I did helped my overhead. That's what helped my overhead. But back then, I was completely clueless. I just remember looking at the scariest guy in the room, which was a guy named Gary Best.
Yep.
Scary, strong as shit.
Yep.
And I now think that I feel like I'm that guy to those kids.
Yep.
And I love that shit.
Yep.
Because I saw that guy, I'm like, what is he doing? He's squatting all the time. He's deadlifting all the time. He's overhead pressing all the time. Benching, whatever. I saw that, and I'm like, I'm doing that. I'm going to do that until – I'm going to keep doing it. And when I see results, I'm going to keep doing it more. And this is something Durniat really says. If it's not broke – you don't need to fucking fix it.
Exactly.
Change shit up. We got a lot of young guys these days that, you know, you see the shit on Facebook. You see the gurus. Oh, I'm going to do these fucking – they do some weird shit sometimes.
Yeah,
you
know? Yeah.
There are things that do work that are different and new. Like some of the stuff you've been saying sounds crazy.
Yeah.
I want to try it.
Yeah.
Might not be for a while, but, you know. Then you see just meat and potatoes, man. Just lift the weights.
Yeah.
I swear if you do it for a long period of time, it will work.
Yep.
That's my takeaway for lifting ever. You know, Russians, that's what they do. They lift day in and day out. They do the same shit all the time. They've been doing the same shit for 20 years.
Yep.
But it makes you strong. So
You know what it does, too? It just makes you mentally bulletproof. I mean, everyone knows I'm such a fan of Anthony DeTillo's. And Desi, who was his mentor pretty much and trained him with many, many things, is this. You know, they did the same thing. You know, they could train every day. But did they take and move big weights every day? Absolutely not. What they did is they conditioned the body. So maybe you want to come in and go initially 3 days straight, take 4 days off. Now, come in 4 days straight, take 3 days off. You know, and you can do – the problem with most people is they do too much. My thing is this, and you do this quickly – I talk about the egg timer here all the time with my warm-ups. I do a lot of the stuff John McKean wrote about, and the doctor's name escapes me. He wrote a big book in the 80s, I believe, on heavy hands. And I go out, set the timer for a minimum of 20 minutes, and go and do all that stuff. And I can I can do some rotational stuff with a York short bar, which was a routine that I did with a guy, and a couple guys in Hard Gainers wrote about it that was similar, where you might take three or four movements, and you can go anywhere from, say, 8 to 15 reps. The sets are up to you, but you follow it one by one by one by one. And then what I do after that, that's when I grab the heavy hands. I might do the skiing movement for the 95 feet up and down to match up with however how many sets I'm going to do. Now, that type of training is something you got to get really used to, because it will fucking fire your system up. Now, and we're going to get into this, and I can't wait till I'll be glad to see if you start getting into these middies, because I'll tell you the exact warm-up I'm doing, because what you need to do, the goal here with this is this, and people are going to be like, what? The goal here is to be able to open. Obviously, I'll start working the lower end at some point to get that groove back. At the middies, this is a low goal for me. I want to be able to walk in on the second set. First set, I want to be able to come in at 600 dead start off the rods. Second set would be 700. I'd walk right out of the gym at that point, because the 700 is going to be the hold against the rods. Now, you start doing shit like that, and you do a dead start out of the hole, and you can walk in, say, at 650 or 700 and go another 100 on top of that, that Husafell stone's coming off the ground, folks. Okay? Oh, yeah. Because I can tell you this, at just a hair below parallel, I've got to crawl under the rack, basically, to get under my Buffalo bar. Okay? So when we talk about how long it takes, in 7 years and 10 years and 2 years to go over to Iceland, and me wanting to go there, and Wales and Ireland and all that great stuff, Scotland, it's not going to happen overnight. And I'm going to just prepare everybody. I'll give it right to you, Jake, is this. If things don't work out, and I know you can get down on yourself pretty bad about that stuff, because your initial thing's always going to be, but I work so hard. Well, as the guys in Iceland said to me when I tore my arm, and at the time, I didn't even want to hear it, they said to me, and I can't do the way they talk, but it's insane. I loved it. You have a permanent scar from here that you'll never forget. Now I appreciate that scar more than anything I've ever had on my body. Jake, take it away. Anything you want to say to finish up, and I'll give out my info, and hold on, please.
If you need any support here, check out Server Strength USA. I mean, I'm a pretty – I don't have a lot of ties to anything. So get on Instagram, check me out at XPosiXJakeX. I mostly front squat and overhead press really anymore. I don't post too much, but I should be posting more fun outdoor stuff over this next year.
Good.
When I start to train for going over to Iceland.
Yeah.
That's
awesome stuff. This is Motivation Muscle Streaming Radio 24/7. Obviously, you're all winners, you're all champions, and don't forget that. You didn't come in the world a loser, and anything that's happened to you, you can change. And get away from the negative people that just won't give you a friggin' break about anything. You've got to learn to distance yourself from that. If you don't, you're never going to get anywhere in life. And believe me, it's the truth. Also, too, go out to, as I said, Fiorello Barbell Co. It's going to be called now the Winners and Champions, Inc. That right now is 14 modules you're going to see, and you will get the 14th module for free when you buy the other 13, obviously, and that's called the Heart of Steel. That's real interesting. I talked about, and we're going to try to get everything filmed before the end of the year. The 15th one, and it's only going to be a snippet, is going to be the tri-quad dead stop squat. Real interesting. And like I said, if you got shoulder issues, this can get the shoulder, obviously, whatever you're doing to it, healed much quicker. but you're going to learn have to learn how to basically squat a bar without holding it behind you. It's not as easy as you probably think it is, because one thing, you better be a hell of an athlete to be able to hold balance like that and get up to a big weight. And I'm doing two versions of that at one time in the rack with isometric holds. So I devised a whole new style, and I don't know, I think I told Jake, I've drawn up, I think I've got a whole new conceptual idea for a power rack. So I'm looking for somebody that would want to do some prototypes. If you know anybody, I'm looking to do that. Obviously, we'll look in my area, but right now that's on the back burner a little bit. But, you know, it never hurts to get things put together. Also, too, contributions, 25, 50, and 100, that's all there. That goes to the PayPal account. And I'd appreciate anything. Anything you want to donate is much appreciated, believe me. Also, go out to motivationmuscle.com/category/podcast. This will be the second show I did with Jake. I hope we can do quite a few of them in 18, because this guy definitely is not only dedicated, he knows how to speak to people. And that is a big thing here, because I've got a lot of plans that we want to do, hopefully by mid to late next year, that could involve some people from the show. And I'll get into that more, because it'll probably be a half a dozen of people, maybe a little less. But there's certain people that I feel that really their contribution, their beliefs are pretty dynamic to what I like. And everybody on here I like, but there's just some other people that can really get it and, as they say, hit the anvil with the hammer. And that's what we're going to do. Also, too, go out. Well, if you'd like Jake and I to do a particular show, Fiorello Barbell at NICAP.R.com. Also, iTunes and Stitcher, give us a 5-star review. That's what we've gotten. Push it out. Tell your friends. You like this show? Push it out to all your friends. That's what we're going to do. Also, too, AHA, that's AHA directory. That's where you can get Motivation Muscle in your car 24/7. If someone seeks you out in the gym or the concrete jungle, never be afraid to say hello to them or offer them anything that inspires them. You can change a person's beliefs in 5 words, believe it or not. My mom still says it when we were kids. Never be afraid to say hello to someone or offer them a smile. That might be all they get that day. If you're going to lift it, bend it, break it, twist it, bend it, squat it, press it, pull it. If you're going to lift stones, turn them into dust. And as the great Hoos of Steel Crusher Stone says in Blood Red Domination, we dominate. We don't follow anyone. We clear cut the path. That's the way it is. Dominate, obliterate, and dent everything in your path. No one will ever clip our balls. And as Russell Furrer has said to us from the beginning, who's been on the show, and he will be on tonight at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, when I hear your shows, I swear there's testosterone dripping out of them. Well, since Jake and I were talking about aggression and anger, we'll add that to it too, because if you don't have that, you might as well go sit down, throw a blanket on you, and suck your thumb, because that's about all you're worth. So men need to be told this, and they need to be told this big time. And don't listen to everybody. Oh, you don't need to be a protector anymore. You don't need to go out and hunt anymore. You know what you need to be? You need to get a grip on it, get rid of the fucking belly, get rid of the low testosterone, and you can't even get it up anymore, and get out there and get busy again. Be an example. Be somebody that cares about more than, oh, what's the latest iPhone for $5,000 I'm going to buy today? Screw it, man. Use it when you need it, but otherwise, get busy out there. Also, too, Frank Klein, my greatest college professor in business, repetition, repetition, repetition. My dad, be a leader, not a follower. My dad's anniversary when we lost him is 2 days away. It's Friday, and I wish my dad was here, because we've talked about him and Frank and John Ridge. I wish the three of them were around us right now, because not only I know Jake would dig them, because they were like good men, but boy, they had that iron fist, let me tell you. And thank God for my father, because I'll tell you, I never would have survived all the shit that's happened in the last 5 years. It's unbelievable. And I thank my dad and John and Frank and all those people that were, at the time, I never understood the way they were. I was like, what the fuck? Well, let me tell you, if they didn't do and act the way they did out of love, who knows what would have happened. I mean, now those principles I live by. And I want to just keep passing them along to everyone. Be a steward of strength. Don't stand on the side of the road and watch the world go by. Tell 100 or more of your friends we're coming, because we're not going to kick your door in. We'll blow the roof off your house. Join the family. Join the revolution. Be with us for 30 years. We need you, and you need us. And as the great Les Brown said, you all have greatness in you. We take it two steps further. We believe in you, and we got your back. I don't know many people that would even say that today. And men, boyfriends, be in good shape. Love your women. Love them totally. Same way with women. Wives and girlfriends, take pride. Be in shape. Support your men. Love your men all the way. And remember, the kids are following up behind you. We want strength. We don't want bench warmers. You got it? Also, you know, I just feel at this point, especially with Christmas coming up, we got the opportunity to make a lot of changes going in 18. We are doing it here. We want you to do it, and we want you to be part of this. Jake, always an honor. Awesome show, man. I can't wait to get this one up, and we'll get ready for 18, my friend.
Sounds good. Thank you again.
Anytime, man. You're always welcome here. So for Jake Reynolds, this is Eric Fiorello. Thanks for listening, everyone. And remember this. Life is calling on you to do something great like Jake. Those young kids watch them and then they emulate them. That's what I'm talking about. Emulate people that matter, that mean something. And if you know something, I'm sure Jake wouldn't mind. I used to be the same way when you watch the older guys at the Y and half the time they'd kick your ass. Don't be afraid to go up and ask them something, because chances are, if they're like Jake and myself, you're like a fountain. Once they get you talking, you'll give them your whole life, practically, of what you do. There's nothing wrong with that. Don't hold information back, because I'm telling you right now, that's doing you a disservice. Have a great week, everybody. This show will be up Thursday, and we will talk to you soon. Thanks for listening. Oh, shit.
Thanks so much for listening to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connected your brain to your brawn. We'll see you next time.